on the front line of freedom. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, giving you a taste today of the power of Honor Flight, a nationwide effort to get our World War II veterans to their memorial before it's too late. I had the privilege of going with 66 veterans on the latest Central Valley Honor Flight from the historic runway at the former Castle Air Force Base. What an experience that was. So amazing to see people come together and make it so memorable. If I started thanking all the people who had a hand in it, I think I'd take up the rest of the program. So let's get back to the story of Charles Steins, 93 years old. He lives now in Fresno, California. But this interview took place at the World War II Memorial, thus the sound of the fountain in the background. And if you listen closely enough, you might hear some of the spontaneous applause that is so common at the memorial when World War II vets come through. The third time Mr. Steins was wounded, yes, I said the third different time he was wounded in the war, was an incident in Italy where an artillery shell landed between Mr. Steins and the soldier 15 feet in front of him. Think about that, how close that must have been. The other man was killed. Mr. Steins was nearly killed. How many different spots did that shrapnel get you? How much pain were you in? How severe were those injuries?
I had 13 wounds. Only five of them were serious. I still have shrapnel in me today from my throat was cut. My left hand was almost blown off, and our fantastic medical staff, the doctors and nurses, was awesome. And how they patched us up and put us back together is unbelievable. And I'm so forever grateful for that.
How long was your recovery?
What year is it now?
Still recovering, huh?
I haven't recovered yet. I'm still in a wheelchair, you know. So, when I got out of the Army, after a couple of days short of a year, I was on crutches when they discharged me from the Army, using a wheelchair and crutches. It took me about 3 or 4 years to where I could get around without, just walk without assistance of anything. So it was a long, slow process. My right knee and my right hip was both shot out. So it was all on one side. But the recovery was actually very final. Later years in life, I didn't really suffer any anymore.
Have you ever set off a metal detector because of all that stuff still in you?
No, but I have to, when I go in to take x-rays, they warn me to tell them where the shrapnel is, because yeah. When they take an x-ray, they want to know what those blobs are, and I know exactly where they're at, and so I can warn them. But I've never set off a metal detector. The heavy metal is down on my hip and my right knee. I had a piece in my forehead, they got out, and one went in that cut my windpipe, went down in my chest and disappeared. Nobody knows where it's at. We haven't found it, but it's still in there somewhere, floating around.
Well, I'm just listening to you, and you know, I've interviewed hundreds of veterans and lots of guys who've had a lot of injuries, but it just strikes me when I hear about you jumping over that wall and landing on the German and landmines all around, or this shrapnel hitting you and coming right through your neck. And I think you just said severing your windpipe and then coming through your midsection and still in your leg by your hip. Boy, there are a lot of things that could have taken you out. Do you feel like someone or something was protecting you?
Yes, myself. I protected me. I'm not religious. The third day in combat, I lost my religion. When I seen men killed, wiped out around me, good men, and drunken bums live, and certain circumstances. The first German I shot close up, we came around a corner together. I happened to have a Tommy gun. I was on a beach landing, so I carried a Tommy gun all the way. And he came around, he had a rifle, and of course he raised his rifle to shoot me, and I brought the Tommy gun up and cut him down. I went over to look at him, and his eyes were still open, and he was looking at me. And he was a lad about 14 years old. And I had quite a conversation with God and told God what I thought of him and the way he run the war, and I've never been in a church since. But I don't mind, and my religious friends don't mind, because I tell everybody I'm fighting for their right to believe as they wish, but I'm going to insist they let me have my rights to believe as I do. I'm very much at peace with it.
Got it. Well, I want to say thank you for serving. Thank you for telling me that. It helps us understand this price that's been paid for our freedom. Is there something that you think people like your son, future generations of American, need to know about what you and all those other guys did?
Well, what I'd like to give all the young people is, I think the answer to our survival and our future is education and intelligence. Try and pursue knowledge and help other people to better knowledge. That I think this is the only way we'll ever get improved.
What does it do for you to have this experience, not by yourself, but with all these other World War II veterans?
Very comforting to be with a bunch of men that understand me, because people like you don't really, you never will really understand me, because if you know without going through it, you have no way of knowing what it was like. So we have a lot of good times kidding with each other and talking, and they may be a sailor or they were a Marine or someone, it doesn't matter, you know, but they were in it. Once you're in it, you learn what it's like. So it's wonderful for us to get together like this. I'm amazed at the amount of time and energy that our men, young men, especially some of the younger women and men and women that donate to see that this works. I appreciate it very, very much.
Well, and maybe you're one of those listening right now who has donated to Honor Flight. Whether it's $5 or $5,000, you are making a difference in the lives of men like Mr. Steins. And I don't know about you, but I cannot imagine being in the position that he was in. If you go to the Hometown Heroes Radio Facebook page, you'll find a photo of Mr. Steins with his son, Daryl. You heard his dad mention that Daryl is also a veteran. He was in the Army during the Vietnam era. And those are some of the other people whose lives you touch when you support Honor Flight, the family members, especially those who get to go on this flight as guardians. Let's hear from Daryl about his experience.
Well, it's great to have this experience of spending time with my father, other than just a quick visit. We've lived kind of far apart for several years now. These last few years, we've been getting together more and more, so this is a great opportunity to spend a whole 5 days with him.
What have you learned about him these last few days?
Well, I've learned a lot because he's talked to some other people and told some stories that I haven't heard yet. Thought I'd heard most of them, but there's always seems to be more.
And when he was telling me about all those injuries, and then I asked you about, you know, what was it like growing up? You didn't know what he'd been through or how severely he'd been wounded or any of that, did you?
No, not really. I knew that he'd been wounded, but he never talked too much about it. I knew the locations of some of his wounds. But to me, he was just my dad. He was just a guy, and he didn't act like a disabled person. Turns out he's 40% disabled, but I never knew that, and I don't think most people that knew him ever knew that, because he didn't show it.
I'm sure there are a million different things you could think of, but when you've seen him out here, you've seen him experiencing this, you've seen him around the other vets, and you think back on your whole life and what you've known of him, what makes you the most proud of him?
Well, I think what makes me the most proud of him is a lot of what's always made me proud of him. He's got tremendous determination. And I think probably a lot of these guys that came up in that generation, they grew up in a depression, went off to a war. That's an early life that the rest of us have never had, and we'll never fully understand it. And this experience with all of these guys together kind of helps you get a feel for the kind of people they are. I'm kind of proud of all of them, and I've always been proud of my dad. You know, it's just been a great experience. I think the Honor Flight is a really great thing for these guys to have to be recognized like this, which they haven't ever had. And I see a lot of them appreciating it. It makes me feel good. Makes me happy for them. I can tell by the looks on their faces. This really means something to them.
It sure does. And the story you just heard from Charles and Daryl Steins, father and son, was paralleled by so many families on the Honor Flight. It takes countless volunteer hours, incredible community support, but I'm even more convinced now than I was before that it is the righteousness of the cause, the importance of the mission, that causes so many people to give so generously with their time, talents, and treasure. We took several members of the media on the flight, including Dave Bowman, an 11-year Navy veteran who served on nuclear submarines, but now is a popular talk show host in Modesto and Stockton, California. He's the afternoon host on one of our Hometown Heroes affiliates, Power Talk 1360 and 1280, where the show airs every Saturday morning at 6. Dave spent time on the trip taking photos and interviewing vets, blogging about it, and I thought it would be good to get his perspective on what he saw and what he felt in his experience with Central Valley Honor Flight. I'm sure you had some respect for the World War II generation just being in the military, but to spend these 3 days with all these heroes, what have you gotten out of it?
Well, it's I have a connection. My grandfather was a World War II vet. My uncle Mick was a Navy vet. So standing there at that World War II memorial with those guys was just, it's very awe-inspiring to watch them come into that bowl and then gather together, get that picture taken, the people greeting them as they come in, and then to watch them go around and find the state where they, I mean, we're all Californians, but most Californians start somewhere else. And I went to the Oklahoma Pillar just to kind of pay tribute to my grandfather. And Frank Guns, I guess, was from Enid, Oklahoma, and he met me there. And we just started talking. You know, he told me the same joke my grandfather used to tell me 30 years ago. It was hysterical.
You got to tell us a joke now.
Nah, it's really bad. It's really, I mean, it's not arable, but it's bad. And it's silly. It's not good.
Well, good. Keep it to yourself then, yeah. And I know that you're a student of history, and a lot of this was familiar to you. But what are the things that you've learned or gained a deeper understanding of because of this experience?
I've learned several things. Number one, veterans we've got to get their stories down. I mean, I've known that for years intellectually, but now you feel it. Now you actually see it, and you start talking to these guys, and the stories that they have to tell are so amazing. And it's not just the guys, it's the gals, too. That I learned this morning when we were at the Women's and Military Service in Althea, I believe is her name. Her picture comes up on the thing, and she's sitting there below that. And everybody just sort of gathered around. And I think the third thing I realized, I had a veteran actually say this to me, there's a reason why there's two straps on your backpack. It's a whole lot easier to carry it that way than it is with one. And they probably learned that humping the jungles of New Guinea or something somewhere. It was really good.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I'm sure there are a lot of your listeners, and I'm sure you're going to be talking about this on the air, but that say, is this really something that I should be involved in, that I should sign up for if I'm a veteran, or that I should go on if I'm the son or daughter of a veteran? What would you tell those people?
If you're a World War II vet and you haven't gone, there's no question you should. If you're a veteran at all and you want to be a part of something very special, you should sign up to go for this as a guardian or whatever roles there are. If you're a son, a daughter, a relative, a grandchild, you're going to see a side of your grandparents, your parents, whatever, that you've never seen before. And yes, everybody should be doing this. This should almost be mandatory, but I don't think Congress could pass that law. I mean, it really is amazing.
It would save us a lot of work if they did and funded it for us.
And it's not just, you know, you asked me the other day what the most amazing thing I'd seen was. And it's a little unfair because the World War II thing is, the vets are fantastic. But I had an opportunity yesterday to walk the Vietnam veteran wall with a Vietnam vet who had never seen it before. And that was really impressive and really emotional. And the whole thing together, just and his service to these World War II vets is, it's keeping faith. That's what he was talking about, keeping faith. He's keeping faith with them. He's keeping faith with his brothers. And it just goes forward from here. Support Honor Flight. Donate cvhonorflight.org. Even a dollar helps. Every little bit helps. Support it as best you can. And if you can, go.
Well, that's certainly how I feel about it. And it's encouraging to hear other people saying the same thing. Thanks to Dave for his perspective and his service to our country. Honor Flight is a pretty contagious thing, I'll tell you. The adventures in Washington are amazing enough, but I can't say enough about the send-off and welcome home we had in Atwater at the place that for more than a half century was Castle Air Force Base, named for a World War II bomber pilot named Frederick Castle, who rose to the rank of general and died in the cockpit on Christmas Eve 1944. It was a mission that earned him the Medal of Honor because of his heroics, which allowed five members of his crew to survive. The last stop on our honor flight in Washington, D.C., was the beautiful Air Force Memorial, where three spires appear to reach all the way to heaven, where the panoramic view of our nation's capital is just about unmatched, and where atop a panel on one side of the memorial is inscribed the name of General Frederick Castle. So that was one of the last things we saw there. And when we landed at the old Castle Air Force Base, the veterans were greeted by just an amazing crowd. So many people doing so much to make it all possible. And I really hope that we can do that again and continue to find ways to really let these veterans know how much we value what they've done for us. Still more to come on this edition of Hometown Heroes. We're going to talk to a doctor who delivered more than 12,000 babies and hear his World War II Navy story. That's when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this.